WDEL On Demand, brought to you by Stanley Steamer.
Air duct cleaning.
Delaware's clean air experts. Call 1-800-STEAMER.
Feels like 103.
Wow.
At AM 1150, 101.7 FM, WDEL.
There you go. Thanks, Mike. Jan Meyer is struggling with a rare form of cancer. When you hear her voice, you will not think that she's struggling. Oh, she is ebullient, upbeat, and positive every time I've talked to her. Bile duct cancer. It's deadly. And she's doing everything she can to make sure no one else has to suffer this as she is and as her mom did. So let's get right to it. Hey, Jan.
Hi, how are you?
You and I have spoken off the air a few times, and I keep forgetting I'm talking with somebody who does not have a very, I'm talking with somebody for whom this cancer could be instantly no longer in remission, can come back. It does so brutally, and I have to keep reminding myself of that when I talk with you because you're so upbeat.
Well, it takes lots of rest to do that, but I believe in living life to the fullest, and you kind of, when you get given a diagnosis with cholangiocarcinoma, also known as bile duct cancer, you live scan to scan, which is every 3 months, and you just try and make the best of those remaining days. And that's why my husband and I decided we would try and focus on raising awareness about bile duct cancer. When I was diagnosed at age 54, I was really kind of mad because my mom was diagnosed and sadly passed away at 79, and it's not known to be genetic. But I was pretty mad at 54. I thought, oh, man, I want to live to 79. But then I started meeting younger and younger warriors with the same cancer in their 20s and 30s. And many of them have passed on since I've met them. So now our main goal is try and raise awareness, raise the funds necessary. Bile duct cancer is kind of at the pivotal point now, and funds raised now would make huge strides in research towards more treatments and potentially maybe even a cure, which would be amazing.
There are cancers that have cures. Yours is not even pronounceable because a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, I guess, when I first encountered this, I had to look it up. Cholangiocarcinoma. If I say it a few times, oh, bile duct cancer. Why does everyone call it cholangiocarcinoma as opposed to bile duct cancer?
Well, cholangiocarcinoma is the actual diagnosis. It's known as bile duct cancer because that's where it originates, actually in the bile duct. So the bile duct's like this thin tube that's about 4 to 5 inches long that reaches from the liver to the small intestine. So the major function of the bile duct is to move fluid called bile, which everybody knows about, from the liver to the gallbladder to the small intestine to help digest fats in food.
And I have this lovely note from you. No, I'm not kidding. You sent me all this swag. I thought, wow, well, you're putting a lot of money in the swag. Obviously, you really are dedicated to getting the word out to as many people as you can. What happened, I think I retweeted a posting of this Andy Grammer video of dedicating his song "Don't Give Up on Me" to you.
Right,
what it was.
And your staff were just so amazing at that show when we went to the Wilmington Flower Market. What, you know, triggered me to write to you was the grounds had been saturated, and I'm in a wheelchair. And thankfully, your staff just came running over, and they're like, "We're going to get you over there, and you just stay right here, and don't be worried." You know, and at a time in this world when people are so quick to complain about everything under the sun, I was always taught from very young to give praise and be thankful for things that are done for you when they're kind. And so that was what I thought, well, I'm going to write the station and say thank you to everybody there for their kindness. Not in a million years thinking that Andy Grammer, when we met him, would dedicate the song to me and had everybody in the audience say, "Don't give up, Jan." And I managed to record it, and I posted on our Warrior page, and it's little things like that. When we post that we're getting any kind of awareness out, just makes, you know, warriors that are having a really hard time, people think that nobody cares about us. My Twitter handle was WeMatter7 until I got banned, well, permanently suspended from Twitter.
Why? What happened?
Well, I was tweeting cancer awareness. I had never had a Twitter account until that time, and I thought, well, this is a great method, you know, to get the word out. And I was trying to have somebody start our cholangiocarcinoma tag team challenge. similar to what the ice bucket challenge, only mine was state of fact about cholangione, eat green jello.
Okay.
And, you know, nobody likes green jello, but as patients, we probably had quite a bit of it. So I sent out 1,000 snail mail letters and numerous tweets, Instagrams, etc. So I was just tweeting them out, but they kept sending me messages saying I was sending out automated messages, that I was a bot of some sort. So I had to keep appealing being banned, and then they kept banning me, and then finally they permanently suspended me. And my husband's exclamation is, well, I tweet like a high schooler, like I text so fast, and I type really fast, and so they probably did think it was a bot, but no, it was just me doing it.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate when that happens, because you can't really talk to a person and say, hi, guess what? Yes, hello, Twitter. My name's Jan. I have cancer. I'm trying to raise money and awareness. I'm not a bot, so please, Twitter, why do you hate people with cancer? You know, and that's, you know, because I'm not always the most, subdued individual, I suppose. Sometimes I'm rather blunt, but, hello, Twitter. Why do you hate people with hashtag cancer? I mean, it's a horrible, terrible thing that they would do that to you because, for one thing, there's not a lot known about this, is there?
No, very, very little, actually. And when, you know, the only reason we knew about it, of course, was because my mom was diagnosed and passed away in 2011. And certainly her battle, she was in Canada, so certainly the treatment options are greatly limited there. And I was thankful, actually, to be living here in the States, where you can go for second opinions, you can go to specialty hospitals where they, you know, where cholangiocarcinoma, they have surgeons and oncologists who kind of, that's their baby. They know cholangio. My oncologist, the last time I went to her, she had 3 new patients that week of cholangio.
Wow.
So it's that rare, but not so rare cancer that nobody knows about.
You just said something that caught my ear. Lucky to be here in the States. Where was mom?
She was in Canada. I'm actually Canadian, and I kept getting bumped out of my job as an RN in Canada. So I moved to Bermuda for a year and stayed for 12. Huh. And then met my husband there when he was there golfing, and we dated back and forth for 6 years until I immigrated and became an American citizen.
This is why I heard you say the word about.
Yeah, it's a dead giveaway, right?
And you said a boot.
A boot.
Yeah, a boot.
And house.
Oh, it's a boot the hoose. Yeah. Okay, well, that explains that.
Sadly, statistics, that's the scary part. Statistics, we're kind of sitting around 4,000 new cases a year. But now, because of new billing codes and the way they're being more specialized, instead of just saying lumping us all in with liver cancers, now it's looking like the rates are getting closer to 20,000. And even higher rates, there's at least 100 times the incidence in Thailand. Because they have liver flukes and they get Lynch syndrome, and then they end up getting cholangiocarcinoma or bile duct cancer, as you like to call it.
Well, so if the cancers are either inside the liver or outside the liver, and they're still related to the bile duct in some way, how does that hurt your campaign to make people more aware of this and to raise specialized research money?
Because there's a lot of people, because there's not a lot of money going specifically for bile duct cancer research, and that's where it's quite a specialized cancer, and unfortunately no two people with bile duct cancer are the same, different treatments. You and I both may have bile duct cancer, I pray that never happens to you, but even if we're same stage, a treatment that works well for me might not work well for you. This cancer is very, very aggressive and dangerous. And it just sits there. You right now, currently, I was lucky. I was one of the very few people that are fortunate enough to be able to have a resection, which still only gives me a 15 to 20% chance of living 5 years. Now, I'm 1.5 years into it, and I'm not going anywhere soon. And certainly, we recognize any of this fundraising and awareness that we're raising right now probably isn't likely going to benefit me in any way, but if it helps somebody else, we're thankful for that.
So you have a 75 to 80% chance of not living past 5 years after your diagnosis.
Right, yeah. And that's even after undergoing a liver resection. Luckily, once you're diagnosed, they start looking at, do you have any metastases elsewhere? So the key to that was I needed to have an MRI to make sure there wasn't anything else growing somewhere else. Luckily, I had one isolated tumor that was 3.1 centimeters. And so it was lone and isolated. So they went in, took it out, and they took 5 inches by 7 inches of my liver and my gallbladder for safe measure. And luckily, I'm still here. And then I did 6 months of chemotherapy, oral chemotherapy called Zoloda or capecitabine. And now I'm just waiting for it to come back or I should maybe say it, I'm just living for now.
Yeah. Was your mom not allowed to get a second opinion in Canada?
No.
Why?
The healthcare system is just so different there. I kind of grow weary of Americans praising socialized medicine. There's some big faults in that. You know, you can't compare a system of medicine that for a population of Canada when the whole population of Canada fits into the state of California. So when you start comparing numbers, the logistics get quite different. And when you come here, you just have more specialists. You have more cancer centers. You have just better access. Maybe you don't see it that way, but at home, if you need your knee done, you know, you wait a long time and you wait for appointments. Yeah. When I lived in Bermuda, my sister-in-law, she had something on her liver. They didn't know what was going on. And they said, oh, we'll do a CAT scan. It'll be 4 months. And I said, you can't wait 4 months. You're in your 20s. So we were going to fly her down to Bermuda. I was working in radiology there, do it, and then fly her back the next day. And when they found out in Canada we were going to do that, they rushed the CT. But, you know, there are some very big logistics to healthcare and socialized medicine.
So every 3 months now, you go and get tested.
Yes. I have to have a chest CAT scan with no contrast, and you have an MRI, which I think is like the worst tube of hell. Oh, sorry. And it's just terrible. Like, you know, you're squeezing something the size of a watermelon into something the size of a grape when you go into these tiny machines. And I'm claustrophobic, and my husband always says, oh, I can always tell you come out looking like a hot mess when you come out of it because I'm so nervous.
Yeah.
I'm like this sweaty ball of hair and makeup running, but, you know, you do what you have to do. It's important, and if certainly if I catch a reoccurrence before it's developed into something that they can't treat or it's gone beyond something they're willing to treat.
Yeah.
So,
well, we know the causes of some cancers, mostly skin cancers, and some others too. I was reading in Southeast Asia, bile duct cancer is pretty common because of parasites. What have we learned about the causes of bile duct cancer here?
So the possible risk factors, there are quite a few actually. Some are previous bile duct stones, diabetes, cirrhosis of the liver, excessive alcohol or smoking, and these are only suspected. Exposure to hazardous chemicals, fatty liver disease, which if anybody who does any reading knows that fatty liver disease is grossly on the rise.
Yeah.
With the population right now. Inflammatory bowel disease, pancreatitis, hepatitis, and then liver flukes that you discussed.
What were your symptoms? I mean, you were young, right? 54. So
right. I had no symptoms. I actually was on the table here with Dr. Peters at Christiana Care undergoing a different surgery. And he said when he puts the cameras in, he likes to flick them up and look at the liver. Well, he saved my life.
No kidding.
Because he saw a shadow, and he aborted the surgery, focused on biopsying that. And without him, if he hadn't looked, I might not be here today.
What did he find?
He saw this shadow on my liver, and then he biopsied it. And
that was
they
it.
Weren't. They kept me on the table and did a frozen section where they send the specimen right down to the lab, hoping that they can say, yeah, it's good or no, hoping we could maybe progress with the surgery if it was nothing.
So they see it. They see it in the liver, but it's not liver cancer. It originates from the bile duct.
Right.
Yeah. And you're right, more research needs to be done on this, big time.
It really does, and we've been trying to do a massive research push to try and help them get some money for this. So my husband and I actually funded a research fellowship fund under my mom's name, Margaret M. Brown, hoping that we could, that fund is to kind of give money to a young budding scientist who's going to focus solely on cholangiocarcinoma research. And what the cool part is, she's originally from Scotland, and the scientist who was awarded that fund, he's actually at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland.
Ah, oh, there you go.
So it kind of, when she sent me that, I was kind of in tears because, you know, my mom was an amazing woman, and I always said to my friends, if I could fight cancer the way she did with such dignity and class, I don't know. I don't know how she did it, but she was an amazing woman. So
you mentioned there's a lot of pain involved, especially with your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the name of the fund again? Margaret?
Margaret M. Brown.
M. Brown.
And it's true that we collaborated with the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation, and they can be seen at cholangiocarcinoma.org. And that was, a lot of these things often get funded by somebody who have been through this somehow.
Of course.
So the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation was founded by Stacy Lindsay after losing her brother Mark to cancer. We also, through them, funded the development of some cell lines. And cell lines are important because they take patients' tumors and they grow them and then put them in test tubes and say you're a scientist in Washington and you all of a sudden want to do research on cholangiocarcinoma. You can go to their bank and get specimens of cholangiocarcinoma tumors all at one centralized location.
And the other thing about cancer research, like other research, sometimes researchers will find something that doesn't work or kind of has maybe some improvements with one type of cancer and discover, oh, look at that. It actually works better over here with this one. I think some leukemia research has led to other treatments for other cancers as well.
And certainly with mutations matter. That's a huge push with the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation. And they're pushing for people to get their mutations checked with their DNA, RNA, and their proteins, because then they can identify any biomarkers that also help the tumor, see if this tumor responds to drugs or treatment. So these mutations might not be seen or might be seen, and then sometimes if those mutations in the same tumor are seen in another cancer, they'll try and use those drugs on cholangio patients.
So I would certainly encourage listeners, go to cholangiocarcinoma.org. If you can't spell that, just start Google bile duct cancer Margaret Brown. Margaret Brown, yeah, start using bile duct cancer. We could spell that more readily.
A lot easier.
All right, Jan, God bless. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity to get you in front of all these people here in Delaware, South Jersey, and Northern Maryland to tell your story. And God bless.
Well, thank you so much for the WDL family for listening and, you know, just maybe paying attention. And if you see something abnormal and you feel unusual, you get itchy or something shows up and you're not feeling right, check it out. It's important. Get it early. Treatments help. Treatments work when it's a lot easier when it's found earlier on. So
that's okay. I certainly hope that we will continue to keep in touch. I got to get going here. Jan.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Good luck. Thank you, Jan.